Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batser. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, joins me as my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to have David Diude of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, who routinely summarizes the week or the half week in war fighting in Gaza and in the north of Israel and in the east of Israel and then the Yemenis as well. But we begin with Gaza. We march to the sound of guns. David, a very good evening to you. Some days past, the IDF professional army, backed up by the reservists, have launched a campaign in the north of the Gaza Strip, Gaza City, taking down the tallest buildings as observation points for Hamas. We're told this is the last refuge of what is left of the Hamas fighters. What can you tell us about the progress so far? And what is the ambition initially in the early phases? What are they looking to achieve? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We'll see if it is, in fact, the last redoubt of Hamas. This is an organization that has proven itself adept at regenerating, even by recruiting, you know, increasingly unprofessional fighters just to maintain a presence on the field. I think that is a goal of Hamas to figure out any way to say it has survived. And in doing so, to puncture the Israeli goal of a total victory, Hamas's total elimination. In terms of the progress, the objective here is, as far as we understand, if we're taking it at face value, seems to be the total occupation of Gaza City, at least in the short term, and the destruction of Hamas' assets, tunnel infrastructure that I'm sure is under Gaza City. They've already found some tunnels, as they have with other parts of the Gaza Strip. Longer term, we'll see. There could also be an implicit Israeli goal here, an implicit Israeli objective, short of occupying Gaza, right? This may be just forward-facing rhetoric, whereas the real goal may be to pressure Hamas by increasingly squeezing it to become more amenable at the negotiations table for a ceasefire deal, for a hostage release. Timeline, that's a good question. These things are very fluid. A lot of factors come into account. Last we've seen the IDF report, not an official statement by the IDF, it must be clarified. IDF said this could take 6 months, which, you know, given the pressure on Israel internationally, kind of puts this not exactly in the best light for the Israelis. I'm not sure they have 6 months.
Bill, you have a question for David.
Hello, David. There's some small anti-Hamas militias that are popping up in Gaza. What do you think about the efficacy of these groups? Are they able to make a difference in this fight? Do they have the support to take the fight to Hamas over the long term and actually make a difference in Gaza?
I think it's a complicated question. Look, my sense is to, my instinct is to distrust any and all such forces. Right, the American and the Israeli experience in different areas relying on local actors that have proven less than credible, either ideologically or practically, comes to mind. I mean, you think of Lebanon, and I always go back to Lebanon. It's my forte, my focus. But if you go back to Lebanon during the civil war, including the 1982 Israeli invasion, the Israeli reliance on the Phalangists and their off-duty Lebanese forces militia proved to be a mistake. This proved to be an unprofessional fighting force, one that did not want to do its own fighting, one that, when the chips came down, let the Israelis do the fighting, take the blame for everything, and then didn't deliver on their promises. The same thing with the SLA, the South Lebanon Army, which, if you ask me, was effectively a terrorist militia, and one that was not particularly effective in war fighting either. So the IDF constantly had to either position itself or conduct operations, not just to protect northern Israel, not just to shore up the security zone, but to protect its proxy, which was supposed to be acting as a buffer. So we don't know much about these militias in Gaza. I think from the outset, we probably discussed this on Generation Jihad, Bill, as well. I advise caution. All such groups have their own objectives, and they may say all the right things at the right moment because they have an interest in doing so. What happens when they achieve their goals on the backs of others? Do they remain the credible partner they present themselves to be? Or do they use their newfound strength and position to pursue their own objectives, which are inimical to those of their would-be sponsor? That's my concern. We've seen it happen time and again, and my sense is it will happen with these actors as well.
There will be a day when the heavy fighting is behind us and Gaza must be policed. There is a proposal from France, I learned from Jerusalem reporting. French proposal envisions multinational Gaza force tasked with gradually disarming Hamas. Subhead, paracirculating draft aimed at operationalizing internationally backed New York declaration to marginalize Hamas. No coordination with Israel filled in the blank. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. This is utopianism from Europe, the Europe that has already condemned Israel for its conduct. David, because we've both been in the area, we look at the geography, and it doesn't look like that big a piece of land to police. And yet, what is the imagination right now about what would make the IDF feel secure if there was such a thing as a multinational Gaza force? What would they demand be happening inside Gaza?
Well, I mean, my instinct, speaking of European initiatives, my instinctive reaction, my knee-jerk reaction when I heard this, John, was to hark back to UNIFIL. And I'm a little bit, maybe perhaps too Lebanon-centric, but there is a multinational initiative that was supposed to do a lot of things that is now going to have to wind up its operations within 2 years because it is not fulfilled. It was never tasked to do anything like that because local conditions did not allow for tasks in UNIFIL to disarm Hezbollah. And, you know, whatever it was tasked with, it failed. When I hear this regarding Gaza, my instinct is to hark back to that, to wonder, is this another, like you said, utopian vision that will not come to fruition, that ultimately will fail because, well, who's going to contribute the troops? Is it going to be Arab countries or Arab countries willing to contribute troops that are going to, you know, yes, confront Hamas, but Hamas are ultimately Palestinians. And if Arab troops are seen killing Palestinians, how is that going to reverberate in their own capitals, in their own streets? I'm not sure Arab countries are going to be willing to take that political risk. And without the willingness to use force, any such multinational force is going to lose legitimacy if it is a Western, right, a force comprised of Westerners, either in whole or in part. Actors like Hamas, like Al-Qaeda, others will be able to present it as an occupying initiative, right, something, another Iraq war, and delegitimize it both domestically among Palestinians and regionally. And if Arabs are seen, Arab countries are seen to be cooperating with it, I think again that they'll feel the reverberations in their own capitals, especially after the war in Gaza, how it's perceived in the Arab world, to be seen by your own people as an Arab leader as, quote, liquidating the Palestinian cause, which is how this may be seen, or policing Gaza for Israel, which is how this will be seen. Maybe it's a step too far for these Arab leaders. So, you know, it's going to require Arab input, but the Arab input is good. This takes us back to October 8th of 2023. Right? The idea of a multinational Arab-focused force was always the most obvious solution. It was just one that hit up against these rocks of reality that we're discussing, that Arabs can't be seen, Arab countries can't be seen to be liquidating the Palestinian cause, suppressing it in any way, opposing it in any way, especially when it looks like they're doing so to protect Israel. And the Israelis are going to need, you're asking what the Israelis need, they're going to need a force that doesn't act like UNIFIL, one that has a mandate to go after, to use force proactively against Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and other militias, one that has a mandate to dismantle these militias, to destroy their arms, and one that does coordinate with the Israelis, right? The Israelis are not going to just blindly trust that a multinational force across their border is doing the right thing when it's never been the case on any of its borders. Either, you know, the UN forces, the multinational forces that were deployed along several Israeli borders to keep the peace historically have never done so. And the Israelis have constantly had to go in, use force of arms to protect their security. We're seeing this again with UNIFIL. So without coordination with the Israelis, without direct communication, without oversight from the Israelis, they're not going to trust this. And if you're telling me they're already not talking about coordination with the Israelis, well, it's obviously a non-starter, and near coordination isn't going to be enough. UNIFIL and the IDF coordinate, but I don't think the Israelis are going to be satisfied again with a UNIFIL-style force moved from the north now to its southern border.
Bill, you have a question for David.
Yeah, David, Hamas purportedly asked President Trump to, or issued a proposal to President Trump for a 60-day ceasefire in exchange for the release of half of the hostages.
Yes.
Do you think Israel would accept a deal like this? There's a lot of pressure on the government to get the hostages released.
It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I mean, what you're doing there is granting Hamas a respite. Clearly, in framing their proposal in such a way, Hamas is showing they don't want a permanent end to the conflict. You know, on the backdrop of certain developments over this weekend, namely the recognition of a Palestinian state by most of the Anglosphere and Portugal, and I think France as well, right? Hamas maybe may feel like it's losing the military battle, but in service of a broader cause, which is the isolation of Israel, the delegitimization of Zionism as a concept at its core. And, you know, Khaled Mishaal said this on Al Arabiya at the outset of the conflict. Every people has sacrificed millions, in his words, in order to achieve their political goals. In Hamas's case, the total destruction of the state of Israel. And they can't do that themselves without the delegitimization of the state of Israel, its very existence, breaking its ties with the West over time. And the way Hamas may calculate this is the longer this war goes on, yes, they suffer directly. Yes, the Palestinians suffer. But Israel is losing the broader war of legitimacy. So seems to me that, you know, they want a 60-day respite. Then Israel looks like the aggressor when it restarts, right? It automatically just makes Israel look worse. And then we go back down this ladder of delegitimization, and Hamas is getting what it wants. And meanwhile, they're not giving all the hostages. So if the Israelis are smart, if they're seeing through this, if it's not just a purely political decision, I understand the government. Look, it's a very incoherent government. It's a very troubled government, to say the least. But it's also a government that has to respond to the will of the people, which is increasingly overwhelmingly saying, we want an end to this war. We want all of our hostages back. So it's going to put the government in a tough position. If you can get half the hostages back, there's such a deal, and the government rejects it because for purely practical matters. And look, this is the conundrum that Israel has placed it in itself in by making the total destruction of Hamas a war goal on the level of returning the hostages. Those two things are unfortunately mutually contradictory, and the Israelis should have clarified that they were prior to prioritizing one over the other from the outset, and now they're stuck in this position where, you know, right, look, I understand the hostage families. They want their family. They want their loved ones back. And this is creating tremendous pressure on the government, in some cases, to accept deals that will only benefit Hamas in the long run.
David Darity of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. We're going north. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.